Praise the Lord. I'm so glad all of you in this place are here. And again, happy Sunday. And since there are a lot of new friends amongst us today, I feel like this is the right time for us to talk about who we are as a group. Because after all, we are here every Sunday, and you're visiting us today. And so at the very least, I think you owe we owe you an explanation and a description of who we are and why are we here every Sunday. And also for the rest of us who have been here for a while, you know that our church has been here for 25 years. And a lot of you were not there at the beginning. I was. But you can, we're going to talk about our church. We're going to talk about us today. And you can help us if you are here for a few years already. I'm going to make an estimate of how we are doing in different area of our church. And if you're here already for a few years, help us. Help me. Is this right, what Pastor is saying about us? So that's the intent. Because 25 years, we've been a church. Maybe there's something that we need to change. Maybe there's something we need to improve. So that kind of thing I want to bring into our discussion, into our mind today as we go through this story about who we are, right? And to start with, I'm going to show you a quote by somebody famous. His name is Billy Graham, the great evangelist. All the world should know him because he is the one, is the pastor of U.S. presidents. Not only one president, but many, many presidents. He just passed away, I believe, last year or this year. I couldn't remember. It's recently. And this is what he said. If we do not know who we are, we'll never know how we ought to live. If we do not know who we are, we will never know how we ought to live. How do we make decision in life? How do we make one choice over the other choices? It helps if you know who you are. Your identity will determine your destiny because your life, as you understand who your identity is, will be consistent with your destiny. God has a destiny. God has a purpose for each one of us, and He created us very unique. He invested and put resources in our life in order for you and I together as a church to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish together as a church and individuals individually. So this is what He said. If we do not know who you are, who we are, it's very difficult for us to know how to live. And we all want to know how to live because we want to know how to make decision, you know, whether to go to this major or that major, live here or live in Indo, who to marry, and all kind of things, careers. And that is life. That is something that we need help, and we need to know how to make decision. And God, this guy here is pretty wise. He said that you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. And I want to start today's sermon by bringing this into our daily life. All of you own a cell phone. Right, you have a cell phone. I'm just curious nowadays because Samsung, it used to be everybody owned an Apple iPhone. But then, you know, Samsung is really hebat gitu ya. You know, it's just like coming from behind and chase everybody. And so everybody now starting to have a Samsung and Pixel, Google Pixel. So I'm curious. How many here have an iPhone? Can I see your hand? iPhone people. Okay, how many Android people? Android. Me and Android. Okay. All right. So still, it seems like iPhone is 2/3 of you. And the other 1/3 is Android phone, be it Samsung or Google Pixel. Do you know in your phone, there is a capability to reset to factory default? Right? After a while, you use your phone. I don't know about you, but I notice my phone, they become slower and sometimes hang. And there are many, many reasons for that. Sometimes you get a lot of junk, you know, advertisement, and it fill up your hard drive in there. And then sometimes you visited bad sites and they infested you with a virus. and then it become, you know, the wireless signal is on and off, and you're just very slow to do anything. Do you know that they allow you to press, it's a combination of power button and volume up and down button. And there, of course, there is a way to step by step. And then you can go back to factory default setting so that you can be as fast as before anymore. And that I suggest to you, of course, you know, back up your pictures first before you do that, because it's going to wipe out everything, right? I'm wondering, anybody have ever hard reset their phone? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, quite a bit of people. So you know this. And the rest of you, you just suffer through the slow phone, right? Or buy a new phone. They do that, you know. I mean, like, in fact, from time to time, they will give you updates that make the operating system very heavy and then slow down your whole thing, you know, like, you know, some kind of power thing. Anyway, my intention is not talk about that, you know, the technology of the cell phone, but to point you that just like cell phone who has a factory default button, the reset button, church also have a reset button. It does. Church has a reset button that we can look at, and you may ask me, why church need a reset button? Well, when the church gone astray from the original intent, when the church is becoming like a restaurant where people just come, sit, order, enjoy, and then go home. When the church become like an entertainment or concert hall where people just watch the singers and the musician play excellent song and they like the song and enjoy and then they go home happy. When the church is forgetting God's mission and instead concentrating on events, program, budget, building, instead of loving people and sharing God's love to people that have known God. That is the time when we need to look at reset button. Not so much as we need to press it, but as a reminder that if our journey together as a church ever gone astray, if we ever forget how our church should look like, we know that we have a picture of the original design, the factory default, so to speak. And that factory default is in your Bible, Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts is the story of the beginning of the church after Jesus died and went to heaven, and then all the disciples was gathering around and wondering what to do now that Jesus is gone, no longer physically present. And in Acts chapter 2, we find the beginning, the booming beginning of the church. And we're going to look at that, all right? The Big Bang beginning, I call it, because this is the start of the church. The first church ever exists on earth is from Acts chapter 2. That is our reset button. That is something that you can read. How is the church look like at the beginning? So that we know how to go back to the reset button, just in case if the church has gone astray and doing things that not the way it was designed originally. So let's look at this one verse, two actually, because we're going to only talk about these two verses and try to understand so that we have an idea. What kind of church is IFG Panol? What kind of church the way it was before? Are we living according to the original design, or we are getting too heavy? Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their home and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. We're going to play a little detective games right now, right? Detective games is like, who, what, where, when, why kind of question. And in looking at trying to answer those questions, we will learn what the Word of God is. So let's start with the who, when. Okay, press that for me. Okay, who. Let's start with who, okay. Who are they? Because they said every day they do something together. So who are they? Well, they can be found in the beginning of the chapter, which you did not read, but we We read the verse 46 to 47. But in verse 5, it says, they were staying in Jerusalem at that time. What kind of people? Jews from every nation under heaven. Which means there are many, many nationalities, but they are of Jews' descendant. They happen to be where? Well, they happen to be in, click for me, this is too far. I think, can you look at me? Because I don't want to use this. Where? Jerusalem AD 33. That's the time of Acts chapter 2. Jerusalem AD 33 during the Feast of Weeks festival. Okay, that is the time when, where this happened and when it happened. Okay, Jerusalem AD 33 is the about 50 days from the death of Christ. 50 days. And this thing called Feast of Weeks is just one of the name of the festival. It's called Feast of Festival. And why? Why are they there? Turns out that they were temporary people. They are strangers. They were traveling to Jerusalem on AD 33, around May of AD 33. They were happened to be there. They were travelers. Today we call them pilgrims. And turns out in the Jewish religion, the Judaized believers were instructed by their religion three times a year on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the Feast of Weeks. Those are just the names of their celebration, okay? Unleavened bread, and on the Feast of Weeks, and on the Feast of Booths, that's another name. All your male shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that he chose. So the Jewish believers were instructed three times a year they have to travel to Jerusalem. Appear before the temple. There's one big temple, main temple for the Jewish religion, and they had to worship over there. So this is one of the celebration, and it happened to be a lot of strangers coming together in the city of Jerusalem. So that's the why they were there. Okay? And so, what did they do? What happened? What happened? Okay? What happened is that, well, this is what you already read, but before this, you want to know what happened. Why they are doing all this? They devoted themselves to the apostle. From strangers to some people who come together as a group, what happened? What caused it to happen? And what caused them to happen is this. Okay, there. This is the first that happened in a few verses before what you read just now. Turns out Peter, during the day, by the way, the feast of those two feasts, one is actually the unleavened bread we know all as the celebration of Easter. The Feast of Weeks we know as Pentecost. That is 50 days. Pente means 50. Pentecost, the 50 days after the death of Christ at the cross and his resurrection. And so these people, these 12 disciples, were gathering together because Jesus already went up to heaven, and they were instructed to wait in Jerusalem. And on the 50th day, on the day when they start celebrating the Feast of Week, which we know the day of Pentecost, suddenly the Holy Spirit was sent down from heaven like the fire, tongue of fire, and come down on the people that gathered, all the disciples, all the 12 disciples plus some others. And they started speaking in tongue. They speak different languages. And everyone who passed by around that particular building where they're speaking in tongue very loudly and shaking the place, they all stopped, and they thought that these people are drunk because they are speaking different language and they couldn't understand, and they recognized these are Jesus' disciples, low-level job kind of fishermen, and why are they speaking all kind of languages? And so they stop and wonder, what is going on? And Peter stood up, and Peter started addressing the people. And what basically he's saying is this. I'm summarizing for you so that you know what is the first sermon looks like. Pretty much this is what he said. People, you have crucified the wrong man. This man Jesus was supposed to be your savior, but you condemn him to the cross. But don't worry, Peter said. If you believe him, there is still a chance for you. Because he is giving us all the promise that we can be forgiven from our sin. And you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is what pretty much Peter is saying. When the people heard this, okay, so everybody here, Peter is kind of condemning, kind of like putting them at fault because they condemned Jesus to die. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart means, oh man, I have done wrong. Man, I have condemned the wrong person to death. And said to Peter and other apostles, they want to know, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord will call. So, this is the process. Strangers just happen to be there. But within a short while, they all come. Can you go back one more slide, Bob? Suddenly, we've read a story in verse 42 and 47. They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. If you read this carefully, you will find six things that they do together. What are they? Number one is? It's right there. You can read it. Right? They meet together. That's number one. They eat together. They praise. They pray. They learn and they serve. Okay, there are six things that the beginning church, that's why I call this a pattern. That's why I call this a factory default. There are so many churches today in the world and so many different kind of worship, so many different kind of music, so many different kind of preaching. But at the beginning, when we look at the factory default, this is what they do. Meet, eat, praise, pray, learn, serve. Why serve? Serve is not even there. Look, the last verse, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Enjoying the favor of all the people. This is marketing 101. How do you please people? Great customer service. What is great customer service? You serve. This is the group of people who believe God dearly and love God dearly and love to serve. That's why they are enjoying the favor of all the people, including unbelievers. There are a lot of them in Jerusalem at that time because they were a small group at that time. But these people love to serve others. Marketing 101 says if your customer service is great, your company is going to be great. It's the same thing. So this is what they do. Meet, eat, praise, learn, and serve. Now, just like us, just like them, we here, I mean, us today, don't you think we have some similarities to them? We are all, a lot of us here are temporary people. Right? We are temporary people. And some of you come because of study. You go to school here. Some of us, we've been here also. In fact, if I take a survey, I would say 90-some percent, probably 98% of the people in this place, they come here because of school. Okay, if you're not here because of school, raise up your hand. One. Okay, the locals of God, you know, those are the local people. Okay, they are second generation. They are born here. Of course, they are not here for school, so they don't come. Okay, if you are not locals, you are not born here, and you are not here because of school, let me see your hand. Okay, you are a visitor from Indo. Temporary, very temporary. Only here for a few weeks. Anybody else that's here? Not because of school? Kamar, why don't you not raise your hand? You're here because of a wife, right? Not because of school. Okay. And then some of you, obviously, you are visitors, right? But the rest of us, when we come here to United States, we're not, can you press for me one more time? I'm going to just go ahead and jump about the story of IFJ Panol. We have a very similar background as the people that was there that day in Jerusalem. A lot of us here, and I came here 30-some years ago, probably 36 years ago, right? And as a student, just like the rest of us. And I never have never think that one day I will make this as a permanent house, permanent place. The rest of you also are here temporary because your school. But who knows? You never know that one of you students, you will be living in United States 10 years from now. And then suddenly you remember, oh yeah, pastor already said, you know, at the time, then you are already with a kid, with children, and with a husband or wife. You never know, because when I came here, I never thought it is possible for me to live here and finally to have a wife and finally live here. But here, who are we? IFJ Panol. Let's talk about this. We are non-native immigrants and visitors, except the second generation that is born here, okay? Where are we? It's very easy. We're in IFJ Panol, AD 2018, not AD 33. Some of you are very old in your mind. You are living in the past, but we are here, AD 2018, in a season of our lives. Now, all of you have different season of life. Some of you just come from Indo for DVC school. Some of you transfer to UC Berkeley. You are a student in your season of life. And for some of us, we are working people, professional. Right? How many pro people that we have in this place? Can you raise up your hand, please? All right. Yep. About, I would say, 40% of you are working. How many pengangguran? Pengangguran means no job, you know. Like pengacara, you know. Pengangguran banyak acara. Oh. But here, we are all together in this place, Panol AD 2018, with different seasons. Some of you are just mom. By the way, mom is not pengangguran, okay? Mom is the most busiest person ever on earth, you know. The mom. So pengangguran means no work. You know, just like unemployed. Mom is definitely not unemployed. Mom has a 24 hours job. Okay, so that's where we are. Who are we? Where? Why are we here? Why are we here? Every week we come together, you know, a group of people. Why are we here? Well, why we are here is we want to know God. We want to be a church. And we want to imitate what that first church did. What did they do? We want to be like that. We want to be like that. Because that is the factory default. We can always do a lot of upgrades and program and all of that. But at least the sixth thing that they do, which is what? Meet, eat, pray, praise, what? Serve. One more. Learn. Yes. At least those are needs to be that. Needs to be there. And then we can learn how to be a Hillsong and learn how to be like other churches that are excellent in whatever they're doing. We can learn. But at least the six of them, it needs to be there. And there is no mention, by the way, you know, the Catholic is sitting on one corner of the meeting and the Protestant and the Charismatic and the GKI. And there is no mention at all. They're all just believers. They all love God. They all do the six things together. And that's what we want to be. We want to just love the Lord, know God, and to be a church and to imitate what the first church did. So that's what we are. Can you go backtrack? Oh, yeah. This is good. Learning to be together. There. Let's read this thing again. As I said, I promise you that we are going to be just looking at this thing. And as we read this, I want us to be thinking, those of you especially who are here already for a few years, how are we doing in the six areas? And I'm going to say it as your voice. But of course, those of you who are here already for a few years, you know whether what I'm saying is true or not true. And, you know, then after the service, approached me, said, "Pastor, I don't think so. Don't oppose me here. It makes me malu, you know. If you oppose me right here, I'm just kidding." But I will be try to be honest as possible. How are we doing? Here it says, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which means eat, and to prayer. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Before we continue reviewing how we are doing in the six areas of church life, let's talk about this word together. Together. Now, together may or may not be a good word. It sounds good here, but I just want to remind you, for those of you who came from Indonesia, that together can be a mob that put Ahok in jail. You don't understand or you don't know? Yeah, pretty much Ahok was put in jail because of the mob, I believe. Because a mob means a group of people who band together like a gang, and then, you know, they protest and threaten you with violence and all kind of things together. But if you ask them to fight you one-on-one, they will be found nowhere. Together give you that extra courage, right? Either good or bad. It all depends on who your friends are, who you are together. And we believe that if you come to IFJ Penol, we are together, wants to be a church, want to know God more, and we want to just learn about Him more and do what the first church did. Together. You are in a good company. That's together. And then with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. In other words, there, you know, again, meet, eat, praise, pray, learn, and serve. Let's talk about these six. How are we doing as a church? Well, let me offer you my view. Eat, we're excellent. We're excellent in eat. I do not need to motivate you anymore. How you go eat and go find good places with your friends from the church to eat together. We are excellent in it. Okay? That's my view. You agree? Yeah? No need for me to preach about eating? Right? How about meat? Coming to church every Sunday. How are we doing? Well, some of you are faithful. Some of you still miss. But I think we're pretty okay lah. Meat. Here, they do meet every day because I guess that is the time that is very exciting for the church, and this is a new thing that they are discovering about this God by the name of Jesus. So they are really in their heart. There's a passion to know more about Jesus. That's why they come every day and to learn, okay? Let's skip praise for a bit. How about pray as a church? I think this area of prayer, our church need a lot of improvement. This one, I believe, is one of the worst area. Yesterday, we have a corporate prayer. Guess how many 100 people come? Well, drop the zeros. 5 people come of a church of 120. So we need, this is for the people that has been here for a while. Come on, we can improve here in prayer. Okay, how about learn? What do you think our church in learning? Yeah, a little bit below average. We don't learn much. Ask yourself, if you are here last semester, how many were in Bible study last semester? I think that needs improvement, right? Learn the Word of God. I believe we need to learn. This morning, I read a news. Why young people of America, in America, leave the church? And the average answer is this. They pretty much doubt that God exists. That's number one. Number two, they doubt that Jesus is God. Number three, they don't like the church, and they don't like the leaders. They don't like the organized religion. That's why they left the church. And where do they got this idea? Even though when they were small, they went to Sunday school. They were with their families. Because they got this idea from the pop culture and their professor who gave them the theological, philosophical virus in their mind. And they are lazy to think. Their professor is telling them, oh, you know what? Christianity believes in creation. But the reality is evolution has been going on. And they think, oh yeah, evolution, you know, from monkey, you know, getting a little bit better through time of millions years, suddenly become human being. Oh yeah, that the one who say that is a professor. He must know. And then another theological or philosophical bomb that a literature English class is saying is this. Karl Marx says religion is the opium of the people. Opium, you know, the drugs that makes you happy. Religion is like that, they said. I'm telling you, this is something that you will encounter if you go to university and the professor is a non-believer. They will say that kind of thing. But just religion. Religious people are stupid. They just get this idea that God exists and all kind of thing. And the thing is this, the sad thing is this. The young people in United States America are lazy to find out about God. They just believe whatever the world is telling them. The professor is telling them. A few years back, a student from DVC showed me a paper that was assigned to them to read. The title is Why I Am Not a Christian, written by the leader of atheist group in America. I forgot her name. And this new student, of course, you know, I mean, like, they are 16, 17, 18 years old. But this is the thing. There is a necessity for you to learn. I got all degrees in computers. I got computer engineering. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you. I got degree, computer science, computer engineering, MIS, master degree. I'm still going back to school today in theology. I've been doing it for 6 years. A lot of people says to me, oh, don't go to theology seminary because if you go there, you will come out to become agnostic or atheist. You don't believe. Let me tell you, despite all my degree, I went back there for 6 years. Today, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is God, that God exists. I am confident about that. But unfortunately, we don't want to learn. I hope that we want to learn. As a church, we need to learn. Praise. We skip praise. We love praise. This church loves praise. And I'm glad that there's a group of leaders now is opening up the ministry of praise and worship. If you are interested in any kind of singing, playing music, you are welcome to audition. Right? Chi Andrea is the leader of the director of praise and worship. And Koim, the one who played the piano, is a professional musician, really, really good and really committed. And then Koyos is the musician leader. He was in the band called Frontline Generation in his past life. So, these are really, really good musicians and much more. Let me talk about serve. Okay, the type of church we are, you have to know because this is not every church like this. We believe, listen to this carefully. We believe in this church, every member is a minister. We believe that. We believe that a church is not just a place that you go to every Sunday. We believe the church is not just a social club. We believe that church is a life relationship. We are connecting with one another. We are living life together. We serve one another. And we open wide the opportunity for you to serve. Whatever you can or cannot do, but desire to do, you are welcome to serve in this church. We will train you as long as you are willing to learn. So in this church, we do not care whether you have small skill, no skill, you know, whatever. But if your heart is willing, you can involve in music, you can involve in the care group leadership, you can involve in usher, you can involve in children ministry. As long as you are willing to learn, we will train you. Your brothers, older brothers and older sisters, they are willing to train you and spend their time, so you are welcome. I hope I make this thing clear, because that is the kind of church we are. We believe that every member is a minister. God has put something in you that the church needs. Let me repeat that again. God has put something valuable in your life that this church needs. Maybe we are not as great as Hillsong's in terms of praise and worship. But again, you know, I mean, we praise. We praise. And we try to learn whatever new Hillsong song that we like. We learn that. We learn to practice that. But the heart of the matter is your heart praising the Lord. Amen. So that's our church. I don't know if you agree, those of you who are here already for a few years. That's my take on our church. Now, to be together, let me go back to a little bit about together. To be together, there are some challenges, you know. When you got a lot of strangers come together, all of a sudden, I see problems. What is the problem? Conflicts among the person that next to you with you. Conflicts between you and the pastor and the leadership. You know, pastor ngomongnya menyinggung nih, you know, and salah ngomong and blah, blah, blah. What kind of conflicts is possible? And this is the place that is not perfect. Let me put it that way first to you. The person that sit next to you is not perfect. You are not perfect. Tell the person next to you so that they understand that you are not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Come on. Do you think I'm a perfect person? Some of you say, hey, I want to tell you a secret, okay? I'm perfect. Nobody's perfect, so we all make mistakes and we say the wrong thing. And, you know, my English is not perfect. In fact, on the way here, you know, I discussed, you know, and I used to preach in English, in Indo, but then somebody blamed me. Oh, pastor, we don't understand all the Indos. It must be good, must be meaningful, but we don't understand Indo. This is the kid that come from international school. How many, let me ask you this, how many comes from international school? Lift up high. Oh, it's a lot of people. Okay, so they're happy. Some who comes from just an Indo school. Jangan malu-malu. Come on. Yes, yeah. See? We get a mix, right? So no matter what language I preach, I'm going to get blamed. Right? I speak in Indo and then this kid says, you know, pastor, we don't understand whatever you're saying. I preach in English, one family approached me and said, pastor, this is an Indo church. Why you speak English? And they left the church. They left the church. I try. We try. How do we become together in this place? Right? We compromise. I speak in a broken English. It's okay. In fact, the people that did not understand English perfectly, they like me. You know, because I cannot go very, very deep in anything. But as long as the message, the good news, the word of God get delivered to you, I think that is all matter, right? Is it okay with you? Yes? Yes? That's all I can. That's all you know, that you're going to get. All right. So together we become a church. Amen. I want to invite the musician to come. You know, all the great thing, all the not so great, all the shortcoming of our church. If we are together and love Christ, love Jesus, we can become together. We can come together and become a church. Amen. Let's all stand. I believe this is what God wants for all of us, is to stay together despite all the conflicts and potential problem with relationship. I believe that God wants us to be together, to be a church. And I believe that we will be a church. Why? Because Jesus promised. He said, on this rock I will build my church and the power of hell shall not overcome it. That means Jesus is giving us the power. When the power of hell is trying to break us apart, when the power of hell trying to create conflicts amongst us, the power of Jesus' love will cover us, will put us together, and we can become a church. And God's word also says, I will be with you until the end of the age. I will be with you, which means that we are not going to try to become a church with our own strength. We will depend on the power of God and His love and His Holy Spirit to be together. Even though we were strangers not so long ago, just a few weeks or a few months, we were all strangers. We did not come from the same place, same school, same city, and we just happened to be in AD 2018 in this church, IFJF Panol, to worship God and to know God. Even though all that, the love of Christ will overcome that shortcoming and will put us together as a church.